from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is it Monday already? It is not Monday already, folks. My goodness, the weekend flew by. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your man, Al Martin. We got a fantastic show to start your week, folks. We'll be talking about everything from the NBA All-Star Weekend to, of course, that incredible game that was for Michigan State as they topped OSU in one thrilling fashion. Also, we'll be talking with Chris Solari, MSU sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal. He'll be diving into the weekend sweep for MSU hockey over Penn State and weekend winners. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headlines for this February 16th. All right, let's start with the MSU women's basketball team. They return to the Breslin Center tonight for the annual Play for K Breast Cancer Awareness Game. Now, the Spartans will take on Maryland, who is currently undefeated in the Big Ten. The Terrapins beat the Spartans in January. The Spartans are coming off a win against Penn State last week. Sophomore guard and power forwards Ariel Powers had 26 points, making her the fastest, folks, an MSU women's basketball player history to reach that 1K milestone. How about that? And it was only fitting that Denzel Valentine drained the winning three-pointer against the Buckeyes on, yes, Valentine's Day.
Tum-tum there. Gives it up to Valentine. Got it!
Oh, man, there's so many ways you could go with that headline, right? Denzel Valentine on Valentine's Day. I mean, you couldn't have written a better script than that, right? My goodness. Now, the Spartans won 59-56 against the number 23 Ohio State Buckeyes and restricted the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, D'Angelo Russell, to get this only 10 points for D'Angelo, about half of his average. Now, Valentine went 5 of 9 from behind the arc and had 17 points. Brandon Dawson, BJ, had a double-double with 15 points and 11 rebounds. We'll have more discussion from that game in just a sec. All right, the MSU men's hockey team completed a weekend sweep of conference foe Penn State, winning 3-0 on Friday and 3-2 on Saturday. The Spartans are on a roll as of late, winning 5 of their last 6 games against Big Ten opponents. Now, MSU swept 2 games against Ohio State, then split 2 with Michigan before sweeping Penn State. Now, the Spartans will look to keep it going against yet another Big Ten opponent in Wisconsin next week. And again, we'll invite Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal, who covers, of course, Michigan State hockey and so much more. He'll be joining me on the show to talk about that MSU hockey team. All right, in a battle of local Rising League teams, the Oakland Golden Grizzlies topped the Detroit Titans 83-78 on Sunday night. Oakland avenged its loss to Detroit earlier this year when the Titans beat the Golden Grizzlies 74-54 on January 10th. Now, Oakland sits at 8-4 in Horizon League play, while Detroit dropped to 5-8. All right, how about those Red Wings, huh? Goaltender Jimmy Howard will try to get back into peak form after returning this past Saturday, as the Red Wings take on the Montreal Canadiens tonight at 7:30 p.m. Now, Howard had been on injured reserve nursing a groin injury since January 10th until Saturday, when he let in a season-high 4 goals against the Penguins. Now, the Canadiens have been the Eastern Conference's best team since the All-Star break, posting a 4-0-1 record. All right, it was also NBA All-Star Weekend, folks. All-Star Weekend came to a close yesterday as the Western Conference topped the Eastern Conference. Get this score. Get this. 163-158. Yeah. No defense at all, folks. All right, Russell Westbrook took home the MVP honors after scoring 41 points, one shy of the record currently held by Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain, including 27 in the first half, an all-star game record. Now, LeBron James led the East with 30 points and trails just Kobe Bryant by only 2 points for the most in all-star game history. In his final season as a full-time driver, Jeff Gordon won the pole for the biggest race in NASCAR. That's right, the Daytona 500. Gordon said, quote, "I can't think of anything cooler than to start the season, the Daytona 500, my final Daytona 500, final full season on the pole. Now, it's going to be a pretty important one for me. on that pole when it all starts. Now, Gordon was the first pole winner to eclipse 200 miles per hour since 1987. And last, certainly not least, some sad news in the world of sports. Yesterday morning, former NHL player Steve Matador was found dead in his home in Ontario. Matador was 35 and last played as a defenseman with the Chicago Blackhawks in 2012. Now, according to Peel Regional Police, this is a sudden death and a result of natural causes. He played for six teams during his 10-season NHL career. He recorded 33 goals, 131 points in 571 games. Sad news there. All right, well, without further ado, our phone lines are open, and hey, start the show. Folks, that number to call in if you want to dive into anything that we talk about here on the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. If you tweet me, I'll read your tweets right here on the air. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And I also have a scheduling heads up to relay to all of you all, those of you who come to the Current Sports TV tapings. We are actually pushing it up a day for this week. Instead of Wednesday, you guys know each and every Wednesday, we usually tape at 6 p.m. inside of the WKAR TV studios. But this week, it will be taking place tomorrow. That's right, Tuesday, I'll be sitting down with Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1. He is co-host of the Ryan and Rico show back in the D. And Rico and I have a pretty cool tie. I've been knowing Rico for years, actually, even years before I even entered into this whole sports broadcasting game. Seeing as though Rico and I are a part of the same fraternity. That's right, Rico actually pledged me when I was in college. How about that? Yeah, Rico is an MSU grad as well. So those of you who know Rico, I mean, he is not afraid to speak his mind. There is no filter with Rico Beard, folks. And he has some strong thoughts concerning the MSU men's basketball team this year and also the MSU football team. And we'll also dive into his interesting journey as to how he ended up behind the mic in Detroit. So if you want to get a chance to meet Rico and sit in for that audience, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. All right, folks. Also, we'll be giving away tickets today because tonight the MSU, as you just heard, the MSU women's basketball team, they will play host to Maryland tonight at 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center. If you want to win tickets to that game, we're going to go with caller number one. If you call in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. If you call in right now, you will win tickets and get to enjoy some hoops on the hardwood tonight. Should be an interesting event, too, because, again, tonight is the annual Play for K Breast Cancer Awareness Game. So I believe the Spartans will be donned in their pink jerseys. So, hey, if you want to support, come on out. Wear pink. Real men wear pink. I have a bunch of pink gear in my closet, okay? That's right. Pink look good on me, okay? Pink looks good on me, all right? I just like the color. But if you're going to come out, again, it's the annual Breast Cancer Awareness Game. Play for K. Come on out and enjoy that game. So we'll go with caller number one today. Folks, we've got a stacked show with tons to talk about in so little time. In just a sec, of course, we'll be talking about NBA All-Star Weekend. I'm sure many of you tuned in to check out the three-point contest, the dunk contest, the skills competition. Then, of course, the game yesterday, which really, really interesting. We'll look at the ratings because I'm sure many of you did tune in, but there are many of you that didn't tune in as well. I'm going to give you my rant on All-Star Weekend, which I think has kind of lost a lot of luster year after year after year. And I think really the last great one for me was seeing Magic Johnson return, of course, after his announcement that he had HIV and AIDS. And he came back after sitting out, you know, I think 1 or 2 years, came back and had that 30 plus game in the All-Star game. It was an unbelievable moment. But for me, I mean, the All-Star game, again, you heard what the final score was of yesterday's game, 163-158, no defense being played. It's kind of like just a free-for-all, but you get my thoughts on that. We'll also chat about the weekend that that was an NBA All-Star. Also, we'll be inviting again Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal and bring to you our weekend winners. But first, want to start with the MSU men's basketball team, folks. Man, oh man, was that a thrilling game to watch on Saturday, on Valentine's Day, folks, or what? I mean, my goodness, Denzel Valentine. I mean, again, you couldn't have written a better script for what took place that afternoon. I mean, you got Denzel Valentine, who always gets jokes. I mean, I've been covering Denzel ever since he was back in high school. And, when I first came out, to cover him, of course, I got a chance to meet Carlton Valentine and, of course, Denzel before I sat down with both of them. And, even then, it wasn't anywhere close to Valentine's Day, okay? This is like in the summertime of his senior year. And, I'm making puns already about his last name. I'm pretty sure, around this time of the year, I mean, he gets a lot of jokes about his last name. So, again, you're on a national TV stage. This game was broadcast on ESPN. Close game. And who comes up big on Valentine's Day? Denzel Valentine, folks, with that huge, huge three-pointer. Man, I mean, and I'm told that the atmosphere was just, it was unlike any game that we've seen all year at the Breslin Center, and deservedly so. I mean, a game like that, a tight game like that against an Ohio State team that is top 25 in the nation, I mean, man, oh man, I mean, the atmosphere had to be through the roof. And then you had former players like Derek Nix, Draymond Green, Adrian Payne was also in the house. What a game it was. What a game it was. And for me, when you look at this win, there were a few key moments in this game. First off, I want to shout out and give a lot of credit to Brandon Dawson. That's right. Brandon actually hit a pair of big free throws down the stretch that kept Michigan State in the game. Now, of course, throughout this year, Michigan State has constantly been hampered when it comes to how they perform at the charity stripe. They haven't gotten it done. I mean, they still are the Big Ten's worst free throw shooting team. But when they needed to hit free throws and keep this game close to give them life, Brandon Dawson did that. And it's a pretty cool shot. If you go back and look at the highlights, when Brandon did sink those two free throws, it was under 5 minutes left in the game. I mean, Tom Izzo went crazy. I mean, he had a bunch of fist pumps and we were smiling at the crowd. I mean, it was a really cool moment. Now, granted, they only shot 7 free throws throughout the entire game. But at the same time, hey, they got the W. And that's all that matters at the end of the day, a W that they desperately needed. So, number one, that was one of the big reasons. There's about four big moments throughout this game, that one being one of them. Second has to be that Travis Trice layup to really salvage a lot of momentum. I mean, Trice, and I've always harped on Trice about not being a penetrating guard because at the end of the day, that's not Trice's strongest suit. Point blank, period. Trice is a guy who can definitely, give you sweet string music from behind the three-point arc. But when it comes to really putting the ball on the floor and creating, he just isn't that type of a guard. So it was really an unbelievable moment for me to see Trice in the waning moments of that game. If you remember, I mean, he drives right, and a hand right in his grill is able to kiss the ball right off the glass, and the ball goes through the net. And so, again, that kept MSU in the game as well. I mean, what a moment for Trice, because I thought in that moment somebody was going to settle for a three-pointer. I mean, I even called it out loud when I was watching that game. I'm sitting there like, okay, somebody's got to hit a three here, or at least going to try and attempt a three here. I was not expecting a drive and a lay-in. Trice went against his status quo and decided to think outside the box, and it paid off. So that's moment number two for me. Number three has to be the tum-tum floater. I mean, and how great was Lou Ross' tum-tum nearing on Saturday, folks? I mean, unbelievable. He played 36 minutes, which is actually 10 minutes more than his season average. 36 minutes, folks. I mean, that's a lot of minutes for tum-tum, at least. He scored 7 points, had 5 rebounds, also chipped in with 4 assists. And this is the big thing about Tum Tum. For most of this year, Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine have been the breadwinners for this team, offensively at least. Those two guys are the guys that have shouldered the load when you need big buckets down the stretch. When you have another guard and Tum Tum who can create, he takes pressure off of, more specifically, Travis Trice. And you saw that happen. I mean, Tum Tum playing 36 minutes, I mean, it leaves Travis Trice to be more refreshed throughout an entire 40 minutes of a game. So that was very, very impressive for definitely Tum Tum. And also, this is what I think is the best area of Tum Tum's game, and it's his defense. I mean, he was a highly touted, when you look at his scouting report, he was highly touted on the defensive end when he came into East Lansing. And you're starting to see why, because he defended D'Angelo Russell pretty well. And he was on D'Angelo Russell throughout the majority of that game. And, of course, D'Angelo Russell's numbers, as I stated at the beginning of this of the show, 4 for 13, only 10 points. A lot of that having to do with the annoyance of having Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Naren Jr. guard him. I mean, it was fantastic. His defensive effort and his energy seemed to spark MSU in multiple stretches throughout that game. And, again, taking the pressure off of Trice, and also not to mention the fact that Bryn Forbes, folks, went 0-4 throughout that game. Bryn Forbes is basically non-existent. So if you don't have Forbes contributing, Trice and Valentine can't be the only guards that kind of shoulder that load. And Tum Tum stepped up when they needed him to. So, but again, that floater, again, with only like 2 minutes left in the game, that was huge for Tum Tum because that also kept MSU close and gave them a chance. And last but certainly not least, the other key moment being the obvious one, the Denzel Valentine three-pointer. Ice water in the kid's veins, a big moment, probably, and no, I don't think probably, that was the biggest moment so far of Denzel Valentine's basketball career here at Michigan State University. That moment right there is something that when he's old and gray, he'll be telling his kids anytime February 14th rolls around. He'll be saying, yeah, of course, you know, this is the day of love, but also, I did this on February 14th, 2015, folks. I mean, that's how big that moment was for Denzel Valentine. Now, of course, every single week, usually the day before a game or, a few days before the game time or tip time for Michigan State, Tom Izzo holds his weekly press conference down at the Breslin Center. Now, of course, Michigan State will take on rival Michigan tomorrow at 9 p.m. on the road at the Chrysler Center. So Tom Izzo decided to hold his presser today. This afternoon to be exact. And here's a bite of here's a few notable moments of time during his presser today. Here's one discussing Alvin Ellis and Javon Best and Tum Tum playing more. Here he is.
As I always say, you know, if the head isn't right, the body gets affected, and that's putting pressure on. But listen, if we're gonna win, I've said it 100 times, as frustrating as it is to hear, most teams have two or three great players, or best players. Call them best players. And then there's a significant drop-off. I don't almost care where you are. Duke to UCLA to Syracuse to Michigan State to Florida to wherever. And to win, your three best players have to play pretty consistent. Our most consistent player has been Brandon Dawson, and we've had a little inconsistency. And so then you start reaching for Brent Forbes or Elvin Ellis or this guy or that guy to do more. And, again, it's nothing you can hide. Your best player's got to play well. Travis Trice is, was leading this league, I think, at one point.
That's just Tom talking about great players stepping up. Of course, he's talking about the consistency of Brandon Dawson, who, again, on Saturday had a routine double-double, folks. Again, going back to initially what I had led into was Ellis, of course, Javon Best, and Tum Tum playing more. Here's what Tom had to say on that here.
I would have envisioned Elvin Ellis and Javon Best playing a lot more minutes. So, I mean, a lot of times it's for different reasons that you do this. We've just been a little thin on the perimeter, and before the season started, I thought Kaminsky would be playing some at the three. So, when you look at what you think in the summer and you watch your guys work out, and then what happens, either through injuries, losing a guy, whatever it may be, roles change. But I'd say even up until the beginning of the Big Ten season, I didn't see Tom playing that many minutes.
Yeah, it was truly remarkable. I mean, 36 for Tum Tum on Saturday. And again, I mean, it was much needed because I've always said when you got Denzel Valentine out there, when you got Travis Trice, I mean, those two are the guards that you go to throughout a game. It helps and is able to relieve a bit of pressure and a little bit of the spotlight off of those guys when you have other guards step up on the team, whether it be a Bryn Forbes, whether it be a Tum Tum. And again, Forbes, it was even more so, that statement even more so important on Saturday. Because Forbes, again, goes 0-4, not really a big factor throughout that game. So it's like, okay, the spotlight goes right back on Valentine and Trice, which they certainly lived up to throughout most of that game, especially Valentine, which I'll get to in just a sec. But when Tum Tum comes in, he plays 36 minutes. You know, Valentine and Trice are able to get a bit of a breather throughout that game instead of having to play crazy minutes. And, it helps that, Tum Tum is such a dual threat because he's a guy who can penetrate. He's a guy who can get you buckets while penetrating, and also get others involved. And him, you know, just from a leadership standpoint, it's been constantly reiterated and brought up that Tum Tum is ahead of his years when it comes to his leadership on the basketball court. For him to be that young, I mean, you could talk to any player on the MSU men's basketball team, and they'll tell you how vocal Tum Tum is in practice, off the court, during a game. I mean, he feels that, you know, hey, he's in charge as well. I mean, and being the point guard, I mean, you are the quarterback of the team, so you have to play that role in many regards. So Tum Tum relieved a lot of pressure off of Valentine and Trice throughout multiple stretches of that game, where they didn't have to do. They still had to definitely live up to and get certain points during certain situations and so on and so forth, but Tum Tum relieved a bit of that fatigue off of them throughout that game. So there you have Tom talking about that. He also had an interesting rant about flopping. Here's Tom Izzo on flopping this afternoon.
They want to fine you in the NBA. They want to kill you in the NCAA for flopping. I mean, that's almost like, you know, fixing games. I mean, it's that detested, although it happened, I think, Penn State game, but yesterday. You get that, and I just refuse to do it. I mean, I got two assistants that are begging me to do it. I just refuse to do it. I mean, the rule states displacement. It does not talk about knocking a player to the ground. Displacement means both have equal ability to keep their space. If one knocks the other one off his space, then it's supposed to be a foul. So, you know what? I'm probably going to lose this battle, but we ain't flopping.
I like that. I like that, Tom, because I think flopping is definitely hurting the game of basketball. And I believe Tom was asked that question because there was a moment in that game where Ohio State could have flopped and may have gotten a call. So he was just asked about flopping in general in the game. But I hate it. I hate it at the NBA level, and I hate to see it at the college level as well. But again, if players are going to be rewarded for it, then you know, you better believe that players are going to keep on doing it. So interesting from that perspective as well. But going back to the game now, you know, Denzel Valentine, you talk about those minutes again. So Tum Tum plays 36 minutes. You know, just the allocation of minutes from your guards here. Again, you talk about relieving pressure off certain guards. Travis Trice was able to play just 29 minutes. So again, folks, that's about 11 minutes left in a full game, as opposed to other games where Travis Trice's numbers are routinely averaging around 35 to 36 minutes a game. Valentine was able to play 33, but, man, I tell you what, you got to give credit to Denzel Valentine, because right now, throughout these past couple of games against Northwestern and now against Ohio State, you can make a big argument that this has been the best stretch of basketball that we've seen Denzel Valentine play. He's putting the team on his back. And he knows just how important this stretch is. Something that will probably never leave me for a long time is when Tom Izzo approached the podium after the Northwestern game. I believe even before that. I believe it was after the Illinois game. And he talked about how much Denzel Valentine cares. And Tom approached the podium and he talked about how, you know, during practice or at any point in the year, he doesn't have to worry about Denzel Valentine caring about winning and being successful as a Spartan, because he sees it on Denzel's face. He sees it in his demeanor in practice. And it's kind of added on to the fact that Denzel Valentine is right from here in Lansing, Michigan. Of course, he went to Lansing Sexton High School. He's won a state championship. He was coached by his dad, who is also an MSU alum and played under the great Judd Heathcoat. Denzel Valentine wants to continue the legacy of Spartan greatness on the hardwood, and sometimes he's a bit harder on himself. I remember covering that Illinois game and walking into the locker room, and it was like somebody had died. It was like a funeral. And I remember the first player I talked to was Denzel. And Denzel, I mean, he kind of had his head down. He was very soft-spoken. You could tell he was vividly upset. But Tom talks about how if there's anyone on this team that cares more about the success of this program, there's nobody listed on that list more so than Denzel Valentine. And, you know, I think in these past few games, you're starting to see a different Valentine, folks. Again, against Northwestern, he had 14 points, 8 assists. Against OSU, 17 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. He was the best. He's been the best player on the floor these past two games and has come up and hit buckets when his team has needed them. None more than, of course, that three-point game winner on Saturday. We are starting to see a change, I think, in maturity when it comes to Denzel Valentine, and it's really impressive to watch. Now, I'm going to preface all of that with saying this is a big win. No doubt, folks. Michigan State, in order to I guess, add in the conversation of them making the NCAA tournament, they had to win this game against Ohio State. And they knew that because looking at their schedule coming into that Ohio State game, Ohio State and Wisconsin are the only two teams on the schedule. On the schedule, folks, that are ranked in the top 25. So you need to get wins in order to against those type of teams in order to ensure a strong, strong conversation that you deserve to play in March in the NCAA tournament. Because now, of course, they go on the road and play Michigan. They're not in the top 25. I don't think they're making a tournament. They play Illinois. Illinois is, Minnesota, Wisconsin, solid team. You got to show up big against them. Purdue and Indiana, I like Indiana a lot. Indiana was a team that was in the top 25 last week, but they've had a few struggles in their past games. But you have to prove that you can play and can compete against the nation's best. They've relinquished some opportunities to do that at the beginning of this year, which we saw against the Dukes and the Notre Dames and so on and so forth. But now you have only very few opportunities to do that at this time of the year. So that game on Saturday kind of puts them still on the bubble. Nonetheless, folks, nonetheless, I'm still putting this team on the bubble because they have to prove that they can still rattle off wins. They have to still show up against Michigan. They still have to show up against Illinois. They still have to show up against Minnesota and going into that Wisconsin game. But they are outside of that bubble and not so much, the heat isn't on them so much so as it was prior to Saturday's game. I will say that. So, again, great win for them, but they have to be consistent at this point in the season, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I will read it live here on the air. Chime in right now, folks. Without further ado, let's hit our first break of the show. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal. Chris is going to talk about another MSU team that had a pretty good weekend, to say the least. That's right, the MSU hockey team, folks. Chris Solari joins me in just a sec. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports, ladies and gents. I forgot to ask how your guys' Valentine's Day went, huh? I mean, Valentine's weekend was, of course, this past weekend. And, you know, this is a pretty cool story from the sports world. I want to shout out Baltimore Ravens running back Justin Forsett, because there's a pretty cool story that took place with Justin over the weekend that I briefly want to share here. And again, announcing the birth of his second son, Baltimore Ravens running back Justin Forsett also revealed that he thought he was going to deliver his baby in the car. How crazy is that, folks? I mean, just imagine, you know, your loved one going into labor right in the car. Maybe a hospital is not close by, and maybe you're sitting there thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm about to mess up my Mercedes-Benz or your Cadillac, whatever car you're in, and your baby's about to be delivered. I mean, that is such a – I would probably lose my mind. I would probably lose my mind. But, you know, according to a social media account, Forsett and his wife were actually going to attend a Lauryn Hill concert. Shout out to Lauryn Hill. I'm a big fan of her music. Out in Washington on Valentine's Day before their plans unexpectedly changed. Of course, his wife went into labor. And, you know, Forsett, he was able to get his wife to the birthing center where his son Zion was born in a matter of hours. How about that, folks? And this is a pretty funny quote from Justin's Twitter account. He says, quote, "Thought we were going to celebrate Valentine's Day, but ended up celebrating the birth of our second baby boy. Welcome to the world, Zion. Love you. So that's a great Valentine's Day gift. I mean, now little Zion, of course, will have his birthday on Valentine's Day. I mean, that's a pretty cool day to have your birthday. All right, folks. All right, folks. Our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's get away from the hardwood just a sec. Of course, we'll be going back and talking about, of course, that Michigan State men's basketball win over Ohio State and the implications that it could have down the line as the season now rolls on for Tom Izzo and company. But there is also another team that had a pretty good weekend, folks, that being the MSU men's hockey team. They completed a weekend sweep of conference foe Penn State, winning 3-0 on Friday and 3-2 on Saturday. Now, the Spartans are on a roll as of late, winning 5 of their last 6 games in conference. That's right, against Big Ten opponents. Pretty impressive stuff, and now we invite a man who knows all things Spartan hockey and so much more, Chris Solari, MSU sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal. My man, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Al. How about you?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic, Chris.
I hope.
You know, this weather is crazy, dude. I mean, I'm layering up. I mean, this time of the year, you got to layer up, wear about 5 t-shirts along with a hoodie, because this Michigan weather is getting to me, my man. Are you staying warm, though?
Sounds like me. I mean, it's colder than a hockey rink out here.
It certainly is. It certainly. Now, Chris, speaking of hockey, let's talk a little bit about the MSU men's hockey team. Of course, they get its second Big Ten sweep in 3 weeks, sweeping Penn State over the weekend. Again, they've only lost one game dating back to January 23rd. Actually, 5-1 again over its last 6 games. How good is this team clicking right now, Chris? And is it surprising to you?
I don't know if it's surprising. It's maybe, if anything, it's a maturation process that I didn't know if it would arrive this year or next year. So in a way, the timetable maybe surprises me a little bit. I mean, you're talking about a team that, now granted, the schedule's been in their favor a little bit. Penn State and Ohio State, while Penn State is maybe the surprise of college hockey, and a team that plays a pretty formidable style, they're not necessarily a team that you would expect to be in contention for a national title. Mm-hmm. But that helps them. I mean, they needed those wins. They needed to score some goals to get some confidence. And, I mean, both games, they scored 3 goals. Mackenzie McEachern has a hat trick in Saturday's game and another goal on Friday. He's starting to come around. He's only a sophomore, third-round pick of the St. Louis Blues. So the talent was there with him. Matt DeBlau is a former draft pick, I believe, of the Calgary Flames. He's been scoring. So they're starting to get some of those younger guys. The Blau's now a junior. He came in early, with only minimal junior experience. So you're talking about some guys that have been expected to start contributing, finally reaching a little bit of a maturation and doing that. I mean, they're 7-3-2 dating back to the Minnesota series. Mm-hmm. The second game in the Minnesota series, and Minnesota is a team that you could say, okay, that's a team that could play for a national title. They've got that much talent. And Michigan State, when they played them at home, they got blown out the first night, but then they hung in, tied them 3-3, and won in a shootout. And that really is what started this big streak for them over the past 2 months.
Now, Chris, you talked about how the schedule has certainly been in the favor of the Spartans throughout this stretch right here. So, I mean, when looking at, the wins that they've had throughout this stretch, how big of a bag of salt do we have to take this whole thing?
Well, I think that not necessarily a lot, because it also shapes up pretty well down the stretch here, in part because the Big Ten has been so porous.
Right.
The teams that, Wisconsin is a perennial power. They replaced 11 players and are really struggling right now. They're last place in the Big Ten, surprising a lot of people. That's where MSU heads this weekend for 2 games. And, they've got 4 games left with the Badgers. And then they have the other 4 games they have left in the regular season are really the barometer. The 2 with Minnesota and 2 with Michigan, home and Yost for Michigan. So you're talking about, I believe they have 3 home games left, 2 with the Badgers and 1 with Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they have to go up to Minnesota. So this is going to be a real test. And if they can, they're still in the hunt. Minnesota and Michigan are tied with 24 points atop the Big Ten. And Michigan State and Penn State are tied for 3rd right behind them at 22. So it's a 4-team race heading into the home stretch here. And one thing that Michigan State has going for it is that it's proven to itself more than anything that they can beat these teams. They've beaten Michigan already. They beat Minnesota in a shootout. Now, granted, that didn't show up as 3 points in the win column, but that definitely was a boost to the confidence level of a young team that needed to find some success.
Now, I want to talk about the overall demeanor when it comes to head coach Tom Manassas. I mean, seeing him after these games, what is his overall thoughts on this year so far as the momentum going and voting in the favor of the Spartans? Is that safe to say right now, Chris?
Yeah, I think he sees the potential and sees there more. For example, that line with McEachern, DeBlau, and Matt Berry,
right.
They've been absolutely on fire for the past 2-3 weeks, one guy or another. And he still thinks they're only barely scratching the surface with that line. And if that line can click, that's the offense. That's kind of where they've hoped and expected to get some of that offense from. And now you're starting to see it with McEachern. I mean, McEachern's playing possessed, and those two guys are the quintessential kind of players, McEachern and DeBlau, that Manassas brought in. DeBlau was a Rick Conley recruit, and he's starting to play with some tenacity and some strength that he needed, some maturity. And McEachern was one of Manassas's first recruits. They're power wingers. They're big guys. They got long reach. And they're not afraid to mix it up and play physical and go to the net. Mm-hmm. Now, at times, they've had to coax that out of them. But it's seeming like it's becoming more and more natural. And on two of McEachern's goals, he went to the net this weekend. Matt Berry went to the net and created a goal for McEachern in the first game in that series. So you're starting to see some buy-in. And I think that, you know, the one thing that Manassas has been is consistent with preaching what he wants them to do. And I think you're starting to see both buy-in and the results of actually the success breeding success.
Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal. Now, Chris, you know, looking at the Big Ten standings here, I mean, of course, you just briefly touched on how Minnesota, I mean, every single year it seems as though they are a legit contender to win a national title. They sit at number one in the Big Ten Conference. And you have Michigan right below them. I believe they're tied, actually. Michigan and Minnesota are actually tied. Yeah, and then you got Penn State, number three, and Michigan State, of course, at number three tied with Penn State. How realistic is it for Spartan fans out there to think that Michigan State has a legit shot at winning the conference championship? Because looking at this schedule, looking at the numbers, it seems as though things are pretty jumbled up right now.
They are. And, there's a pretty good chance that, if things hold the form on paper, as on the ice as they do on paper, which, you know, that's obviously a big question mark, Michigan State should, if you go by it, should beat Wisconsin in four games. That's 12 points right there. If they were able to split with Minnesota and Michigan, that's another 6 points. So, I mean, is it realistic with eight games left? Absolutely, it's realistic. Now, can they sustain this? That's been the big key. They've had moments over the past few years where they will have a little bit of success and then take some steps back. One thing that Tom Manassas preached when they swept Ohio State, because they've won five in a row at home now, mm-hmm. They swept Ohio State at Munn about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And one thing he did about that game is he preached that as a six-period weekend, not one game, six periods, and with a long intermission. And that's how they have to really approach the rest of these games in this weekend. It really, they have to keep that focus. They can't win one night or get a shootout win one night and feel satisfied that they got the extra point. That's been one thing with this team is that sense of satisfaction. There's nothing to be satisfied until Michigan State's hockey program resurrects to where it previously was under Ron Mason. And that's a hard task, and that's a brick-by-brick thing that Tom Manassas has tried to build, but we're starting to see a little bit of his grand vision right now.
Yeah, and you talk about that vision, Chris, just briefly ago, about how you didn't know whether or not it will come to fruition this year or next year. Why do you say that?
Well, I say that because a lot of those guys are young. He's still playing with a handful of recruits that Rick Conley brought in. Obviously, as I said, a couple guys in the junior class, Matt DeBlau is one of them. The senior class is all Rick Conley guys. Not granted, they've all played for Tom Manassas now, so they know what to expect. And the difference between college hockey and some of the other sports is that recruits are really start to getting committed, the top recruits, quite a ways out.
Right.
You know, we're talking 4 years out before they arrive on campus. And that's something that's been the thing with Anastas' program, is that it's been waiting for his guys to get there and fully loaded roster. He's getting buy-in now from the senior class, the guys that weren't his recruits, but they played for him all the time. And that was really the thing that needed to happen, because their defense has been very solid. And those guys are, I believe, all Tom Anastas' recruits are very close to it. They brought in R.J. Boyd as a transfer, now Ron Boyd. They've got John Drager from Minnesota High School. They've got Travis Walsh. He was a Conley commitment, but that's Ron Mason's grandson. So,
right,
you know,
exactly.
You can kind of call him that. But Josh Jacobs has been a tremendous influence on the blue line. The freshman is a second-round pick of the New Jersey Devils last year. He's just a steady performer back there. And that's really seemed to get that defense going. Jake Hildebrand in goal, another one of Anastas' recruits, kind of an under-the-radar signing when he decided to go to Michigan State. And Hildebrand right now is probably the best goalie in the Big Ten and easily in the top five in the country, just with his performances. He had his third shutout of the year on Friday night against Penn State. And this is a guy that can stop some pucks. And if you can get the defense playing in front of him, you've seen that at times over the past 2 years, but now they're starting to add a little bit more offense to it. They can go that 2-3 goal jump. That's a big thing, because Anastas' teams have been nearly unbeatable when they score 3 goals.
Yeah, and that was my next question about Jake Hildebrand. I mean, he stopped 68 shots over the weekend. So you think that Jake is right now the best in conference and a top-5 goalie? That's saying a lot. Wow, Chris.
It's saying a lot, considering that Rumpel at Wisconsin and Adam Wilcox at Minnesota both are excellent goaltenders. Michigan's kind of struggling right now with their goaltending. But, I think Hildebrand is playing at that level. He's seeing the puck well. He's turning them away. He's making good decisions, and he's not playing too fast and trying to make things happen. He's doing a good job of catching the puck and reacting when he stops the puck to get back in position.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, folks, again, MSU hockey, they resume action this Friday at Wisconsin. They have a doubleheader there. All right, Chris, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I've heard, we've had the debate on here, I believe, like 2 weeks ago here on Current Sports, about, of course, Michigan State. They held the Hockey City Classic at Soldier Field against Michigan, a game in which they lost 4-1. But there's been some mixed reviews when concerning the overall fan perception and fan enjoyment when watching outdoor hockey. Chris, I want to get your thoughts. Do you like outdoor hockey, and is it good for the game?
I liked outdoor hockey when it felt like an event. It now is becoming more of a chore for these teams. You know, you look at that game, it was an event 2 years ago at Soldier Field when Minnesota and Wisconsin played there and they drew 50,000 plus.
Right.
It was a chore when Michigan State went there and they only drew, I mean, it was less than 22,000. That was the attendance for two games there. And that included the attendance for the Western Michigan and Miami, Ohio game.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes. It wasn't really well promoted. Now you got to understand, this was a Michigan home game and a decision by former Michigan athletic director David Brandon to move that game from Yost Arena, which they had the extra home game this year. They decided to do that and move the game there to Soldier Field for fundraising, for recruitment purposes, all those things. It may be just a bit short of a disaster with that. I mean, they were hours away, I would think, you know, if not minutes away from scrapping the Michigan State game and pushing it back a day, and then I don't think they would have got it in that next day. They had a number of different issues. They had issues with the rink. They had issues with some of the media accommodations. They botched the commemorative puck and put Michigan University on it. Remember,
no,
this is the Michigan home game.
They did not.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Did. So you're talking about misstep after misstep after misstep on top of something that these programs have more or less created. Michigan and Michigan State are the two schools that really, and really, let's say, two hockey programs, because we're talking NHL as well.
Yeah.
You know, they put outdoor games on the map when Michigan State hosted the Cold War in 2001. And they've also done a tremendous job, you know, in Ann Arbor with the big chill at the big house. So, yeah, this was this was, and remember, then last year, so there wasn't any separation here. Mm-hmm. They played the Big Chill in, I believe, 2009 in Ann Arbor. They played last year at Comerica Park outdoors, and also played two games, each of them, in the GLI, and then they played another game this year. It's just too much. It's oversaturation. And the fans staying away, I think, showed quite a bit to them, and I think you might start seeing that now that the NHL has run so many outdoor games. I'm starting to, you know, usually these things start where they began, you know, the trends. The trend for outdoor hockey started at the college level, and trend away from it, I think, is going to start there.
Now, Chris, I want to ask, because, you know, in many regards, I'm hockey stupid to a degree. I want to ask you, you know, the problems with the ice, because, you know, I was told that the ice was slippery and, well, not slippery. I mean, it would actually kind of, I don't know, it was slow.
Mush.
The ice was slow. Now,
mush and soup is the best way to describe it.
Right.
They didn't have the chilling mechanisms working properly throughout the day. They found that the chiller compression unit blew a fuse and was operating below 50% capacity.
Oh, wow.
So that was a big part of it.
Is that normal when it comes to outdoor hockey? Is that a normal thing?
I think in football stadiums, it's not as normal. They got to run the lines quite a ways through the tunnels of the stadium, more so than say, like at a college football stadium where things are a little more condensed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's hard to call something common with these outdoor games when they have to completely build the infrastructure for it.
Yeah.
From scratch. And it's not like a hockey arena where everything is running in a very small little window, like at Munn Arena, where all the things are condensed right there in a room, and, you know, they just replace the ice mechanisms there. So yeah, I think it's hard to call anything that happens with outdoor hockey normal, believe it or not.
Right. Folks, I'm curious to see what you think about it. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. My man, Chris Solari, also current sports TV alum, Chris Solari, reporter for the Lansing State Journal. Chris, always a fun time. Thanks a lot, my man.
Hey, anytime, Al. Good talking with you.
All right,
stay warm.
Always. You too, my man. Bundle up. All right, folks, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we've still got weekend winners for you. Who exactly had the best weekend in sports? Oh, boy, that should be quite a list. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870. What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Monday. I know it is Monday. You know, you're probably still wishing it was the weekend. Mondays are always a little moppy. You know what I mean? You wake up and you wipe the crust out your eye and say, all right, time to man another work week. But hey, we try to make it a fun one here on Current Sports because I always look at the glasses half full, and it's the start. There's so much potential this week for you to become great, all right, folks? So hey, put on a smile and grind it out, all right? All right, welcome back to Current Sports. Again, I am your host, Al Martin. On this February 16th, we have not heard this man's voice all hour just yet. It's our engineer, the man behind the glass. Whatever you like to call him, smooth is a fitting word as well. My man, Alex Shark. How you doing, Alex?
Pretty good, man. You caught me off guard there. But yeah, how about the dunk contest by Zach LaVine?
Yeah,
did you
man.
Catch all his dunks?
Oh, yeah, he's part of my... I'm going to give a big rant on the All-Star weekend in just a sec here. But yeah, Zach, man, he's got natural springs. That's just natural springs. And why not? Without further ado, folks, with only 10 minutes left in the show, it is time for Weekend Winners, where each and every Monday we take a look at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in sports. So here we go. Without further ado, it is time for Weekend Winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best
All right, folks, it is time for Weekend Winners here on Current Sports, where we take a look at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in the sporting world. Well, I'm going to start with the NBA All-Star Weekend and my winners first off. Of course, Alex, you just brought up Zach LaVine of the Minnesota Timberwolves, a kid who's, 19 years old. In his rookie campaign in the NBA, very talented, freakishly athletic. Zach was actually a part of this Saturday's NBA dunk contest. Now, for me, I think that the All-Star Weekend has got, as frankly, for lack of better words, become laughable over the years. The dunk contest has lost a lot of its luster because, let's be honest here, I feel like I've seen just about every single dunk there is to do. I think they've hit their ceiling, to be honest with you. Now, it's always fun to watch an electrifying dunk in a game, you know, one that you know, sort of binds together athleticism and creativity at the same time. And that's essentially what NBA All-Star Weekend tries to do with the dunk contest. It's been cool to see over the years the greats such as Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. I mean, how can you forget Vince Carter's back in the early 2000s? I mean, the dunk contest has certainly had its share of moments. But I think just over the years, it's become boring, point blank, period. And I hate how in the NBA, none of the superstars want to participate. None of the LeBron James of the world or Dwayne Wade's of the world. They've never competed in it. I mean, just the superstars don't even care for it anymore. So it's like, why should we as fans? This weekend, it showcased young studs, again, such as Zach LaVine. You had Victor Oladipo, a kid who actually got to cover back when he was a baller for Indiana. Who is the other contestants? I can't. Who is that? Do you have the full list, Alex? I don't even know who the other two were. It was four total. But anyway, I think the NBA All-Star Weekend has lost a lot of its luster. But it did have a couple of moments that were pretty cool to watch. One of them being, I got to shout out Steph Curry, because Steph Curry was just a man amongst other men in that contest, because the three-point contest showcased arguably the best shooting tandem that we've seen ever in the history of the history of the three-point competition. And it was pretty cool because, you know, you had Steph go up against his fellow teammate Klay Thompson. And Klay, you know, is a great shooter. I mean, he's 37 points in one quarter. If you remember that happened a few months ago, actually. I believe it maybe was like the beginning of last month. Unbelievable player, Steph also in his own right. But to see Steph Curry go up, and I believe he only missed five shots in his final round, folks. I mean, it was remarkable. And I do think that Steph Curry will go down as the greatest shooter of all time. And also, you know, Zach, you know, competing in a competition that didn't have a lot of flair, if you ask me. I mean, it was pretty cool to see Victor Oladipo in the competition because he was the shortest amongst all of the competitors. And he showed that he had a lot of hops. You know, he has a lot of hops, I should say. And to see him almost throw it down, he did throw it down, but it lost his flair after you go up. Because they give you three attempts per round. And if you don't nail it on the first try, it's like, okay, we know what you're doing now. Just complete the dunk. And, you know, it took, I believe, Oladipo like two or three tries. So I believe he got on his final try of that whole 520 dunk where he spins, you know, almost like two times in the air, which is pretty cool because I hadn't seen it. I've seen it before, but I haven't seen it in quite some time, at least on that level. And Zach LaVine, it's not like Zach did any dunk that we haven't seen before. All of the dunks that Zach performed on Saturday night, we've seen them before. We've seen the between the legs dunks before. We've seen all of that. But it was the way in which he threw him down. I mean, the way how high the kid gets up combined with that freakishly athletic talent, it was pretty cool to watch. So shout out to Zach LaVine and Steph Curry and the rest of those who competed in three-point contests, because without those two competitions, I think the All-Star contest, All-Star weekend would have just been another ho-hum weekend. Also, the All-Star game was pretty ho-hum. I don't really know anyone who actually sat through and watched the entire game itself. The final score was, get this, 163-158. No defense whatsoever. And you know what? There was also something else taking place at the very same time as the All-Star weekend. which is another one of my weekend winners, I want to shout out the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, a show that many of you have grown up on. I for sure have grown up on it. I DVR SNL each and every Saturday night. This has been a fantastic season as it's had so far. But again, it was the 40th anniversary yesterday, and they brought back some legends. Legends, folks, that have crossed the SNL stage. I mean, if I was to read the list of the legends that came across yesterday, I mean, I will be here for more than 2 hours, okay? It was unbelievable. And for me, one of the big highlights of yesterday happened to be when Chris Rock gave this heartfelt introduction of Eddie Murphy, my favorite comedian of all time. Eddie Murphy was on SNL 30 years ago, and unbelievable. I mean, from the James Brown hot tub skit to so much more. I mean, that's my favorite one of Eddie's. But Eddie came out, he gave a few words, and they hit the commercial break. But, I mean, Eddie came out. It was kind of awkward because they were supposed to hit commercial right after he gave his remarks, but they didn't because they thought Eddie was going to speak longer. I mean, literally, his thank you speech was about 20 seconds long. But it's pretty cool just to see Eddie and Chris on the same stage together and to see him commend him for that. Also, I want to shout out a guy who I think is probably in a happy place right now. Anytime you leave this franchise, I think you are in a happy place. Amari Stoudemire, folks. I don't know if you heard, but Amari Stoudemire has been waived by the New York Knicks, ending the former All-Star's injury-plagued tenure in New York. Now, the Sides reached an agreement yesterday on a buyout of Stoudemire's contract with the team. And, you know, it's really interesting. You can read the article on ESPN right now. But I do think, you know, the New York Knicks are a team that was once one of the pinnacle teams in the NBA and hasn't been for over a decade now. So Amari Stoudemire has had a career, again, a injury-plagued career, to say the least. Hats off to him for getting out of the situation. I think he's knocking on the door of retirement anyway because his body just can't play a full NBA season. And my other weekend winner happens to be the 50 Shades of Grey movie, folks. It actually set a record for President's Day / Valentine's Day weekend for the highest grossing film over that weekend. I went out. I did see it. You can't take your kids to that one, okay? I mean, that one is definitely not a PG movie or a G-rated movie. But and I thought it wasn't a good movie at all either. It ended kind of in a ho-hum way. I guess that's my word of the day, ho-hum, because the movie wasn't that great. But money talks, right? And money certainly talked when it came to that weekend in that movie theater. All right, folks. Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Current Sports. Again, folks, tomorrow night in the WKAR-TV studios, I sit down with Rico Beard of 105.1, the Ryan and Rico show out in the D. You don't want to miss that one, folks. Sign up online at WKAR.org. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic start to your week, and be easy, people.